Cheryl Fritz is now live in Lansing on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Welcome to Fritz and Friends.
Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, along with producer Scott Eckersley, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me now on the phone from Washington, D.C. is Derek Walbank, who's becoming a regular here, and I'm loving this. Hey, Derek, how are you?
Hey, Cheryl, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. He, of course, is the Washington correspondent for the Minnesota Post, formerly with the Lansing State Journal, so he's moving on up the ranks. Tonight is the big State of the Union address, and I guess I'm just kind of curious. I love your bird's-eye view of how what are preparations like in Washington, D.C., getting ready for the address this evening?
Well, Cheryl, pretty much everybody's here. It's 5:20, so the security officers of Capitol Police will be going through the House gallery, and they'll have finished that, or they'll be getting really close, and there'll be anxious House members standing outside waiting for them to give the all clear. Then they're going to rush in and try and grab seats near the center aisle. You'll be able to tell who was successful because they'll be shaking the president's hand and giving him a hug and all of that stuff as he walks down, because there's a premium to try and get on TV.
You know, that go ahead.
Oh, most of the responses to this that you're going to hear afterwards have actually already been written, because the White House has given out fact sheets to a lot of members' offices. We obtained one of those already earlier today. So they pretty much know the ballpark of what he's going to say, although the exact words won't be released until just as he starts to deliver them.
I kind of wish they'd do that differently. I think it would be fun if they were surprised and it was a response that was a reaction rather than so prepared.
That hasn't happened for years. It actually doesn't even happen in Michigan, although in Michigan you usually, for the state of the state, we usually got those at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon under a strict embargo to not start saying what was going to be in it until that would happen. The funny thing that Jennifer Granholm used to do is she liked to deviate wildly from her remarks only in certain places. So occasionally she'd be going up and say, you know, sticking exactly to script, and then she'd have a whole 3 or 4 paragraphs that nobody knew was coming. It was actually really funny to sit there, watch the House floor, see everyone scrambling to try and figure out where in the remarks she was.
Well, and of course, it changed a little bit this year, too, with our new governor, Rick Snyder's remarks. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a prepared speech. He you know, followed note cards and had barely an outline, so folks weren't able to work too far off of that ahead of time either.
To each their very own. Barack Obama will have, however, a full written out copy of what he intends to say. It will be bolded or in all caps, the things that he wants to stress, and he'll have a copy, paper copy of his speech already on the rostrum for when he gets there.
I love that you were talking about seating. That was one of my questions, and that's been in the news the last couple of days. Who's attending, who's not, and the scrambling for seating. I mean, it reminds me of the first day of school. Seriously? I mean the representatives and Congress and the House are running for seats.
Yeah, it's really funny, and the new twist this year is usually all Democrats sit on one side and all Republicans sit on the other one, and you can kind of get a clue as to how popular something is by who stands up and who doesn't stand up, and do they all go together or whatnot. This year, they're all sort of pairing off one Democrat with one Republican in the spirit of bipartisanship that I would be shocked if it lasts too long, but it'll be there tonight and certainly on show. The key for the viewers, if you can't quite see everything, is when right behind President Obama will be sitting Vice President Biden, who's constitutionally the President of the Senate, and House Speaker John Boehner. Biden's a Democrat, Boehner is a Republican, so if Biden's up and Boehner's down, then it's a half applause. And if they're both up, it's a full standing ovation.
I'm just picturing in my mind, Derek, this could look like a carousel in the audience if they're paired off Republican and Democrat. You know, when one person likes something and the other doesn't, they'll be hopping up and down, you know, every other or so.
They often do, yeah. And it extends the speech. Last year, the speech went about an hour and 10 minutes, and we're told that this year the word limit on the speech is about the same, so be expecting something between an hour and 1 hour and 20 minutes, depending on how fast the president speaks and how many applause breaks they get.
Where are you watching from, Derek?
I never watch from the House gallery. I turn down my tickets every year because they have a rule against bringing in electronics into the chamber. And I like to use that last little bit watching on TV from the Senate Press Gallery, where my office is, to just try and type up before we have to go downstairs and catch reaction.
Certainly. We just had State of the State and State of the City last week and this week. And those speeches were kind of left clamoring for details. Is it pretty much the same with the State of the Union address?
You know, it is. A little bit. What tends to happen is that the president or the executive in whatever those cases is will lay out their broad plan for going forward. The specifics come in the president's budget proposal or in Bert Bernero's or in Rick Snyder's budget proposal whenever they release them. Now, in years past, the president's budget proposal would come out pretty quickly after the State of the Union. That's certainly not happening this year because the State of the Union, as you know, is tonight, and we're not expecting the budget proposal until possibly Valentine's Day or somewhere around there. So it's going to be a good 3 weeks that the president's proposals will be out there without any real specific hard numbers to back them up. And he's not going to be very specific when it comes to some of the cuts that he wants. He's going to talk in very general terms about the cuts that he wants, but he's going to have some specifics in terms of some of the targeted increases that he's looking for. Now, the key thing to look at, and I have this from multiple people at the White House, is that the president will be talking about a five-year non-security discretionary spending freeze. Now, what this means is everything that's not Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, something like that, that's called a mandatory spending, and everything that's not defense or Homeland Security or veterans, everything else, 5 years at whatever the 2011 spending level is. So whatever the president puts out in his budget, that's going to be the level that they're going to try and freeze at.
Well, cool.
For 5 years.
We heard it here first. We got a little inside track. I can't let you go. We got about a minute and a half, but I can't let you go without talking about your former governor, Jesse Ventura, in Minnesota. He's suing, it's kind of, you know, the don't touch my junk kind of lawsuit against TSA. He says they gave him a pat down that was a little too personal.
Well, Jesse Ventura has filed suit against the Transportation Security Administration, claims that the pat-downs are a violation of the Fourth Amendment right to against unreasonable search and seizure, and he says that a federal agent without a warrant touching his genital area is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, and he certainly has a lot of people who agree with him. But Jesse Ventura is never a dull moment, and this, I gotta tell you, Cheryl, people might laugh to hear it, this might actually be a seminal case because Jesse Ventura is gonna have the money to be able to push this as high as he wants it to go.
Boy, you're right about that. This stemmed from an incident in November. Just a couple of words, do you miss him?
Oh, goodness. Never a dull moment with Jesse, and thank goodness he hangs around so he stays in the news.
We will be, yeah, I'm laughing, but only because of the situation. I think you're right. I think this one could go all the way, and we'll be talking about it differently in a little bit. Thank you so much, Derek, and look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
You too. Derek Wahlbank, Washington correspondent for the Minnesota Post, giving us a bird's eye view of State of the Union address tonight. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.